You're listening to Leaders Portfolio Audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. Now with us in studio, the president and CEO of an Inc. 5000 company, DLT Solutions, Mr. Rick Marcotte. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio, Rick.
Thanks, Rebecca. Nice to be here.
DLT Solutions is a reseller of information technology to public sector clients in Herndon, Virginia. Can you explain what DLT provides for your clients?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We're what's called a value-added reseller, or a VAR, of information technology products to public sector clients. In essence, we're a leveraged sales force for these vendor partners, companies like Oracle, Symantec, and Autodesk, companies you've heard of. So in essence, we're like a force multiplier for their own sales and marketing organizations, as well as contracting and services execution, a real solutions provider for our government customers.
And you... I want to hear the story about how you came to DLT. You served on the board in 2003, and then at some point you led a management buyout of the company.
Right. Back in 2003, when the founder died, I was asked by his estate to serve on the board, which I did. And in 2004, we had some management changes, and the chairman asked me to go ahead and serve as CEO. So I went ahead and gave that a shot and said, this is a great company with good direction. I was really enjoyed running the company. And in 2005, when the company and the owners, the current owners, or the past owners, sorry, were ready to sell the company, went ahead and, you know, we shopped the company to certain strategic buyers or potential buyers, as well as some financial buyers. But it was my assessment that none of them really saw the soul of DLT. So I actually stepped up with an executive VP and CFO and some financial backing, went ahead and bought the company. So I figured, what better way to show leadership to a company and really believe in what you're pursuing than to put some money on the table and have a major stake in it. And that's really how it happened.
And so, and when you did this, did you ever think I want to be a CEO, or you just got in this position and thought, okay, let me try this?
Well, I was a vice president, general manager of several other large multinational divisions of companies. So I had CEO-like experience. And when I became the CEO in 2004, I hadn't contemplated at the time actually buying the company, but that is what it is, and the opportunity presented itself, and I just went for it.
How do you think your management buyout experience differed from others? Do you think management buyouts tend to not work?
Well, it's hard to really be black or white on the thing. It's a much harder process today than it was back in 2005, just from the sheer financial sector, as you probably read, banks aren't really into lending money, so it's a much tougher thing to do now than it was back then. But in our case, we had great results. We had a phenomenal market sector, public sector, very solid, government receivables. We had a great team. We had the track record. So all the sort of major elements were pointing in our direction. So I felt really confident that we could put it together, and we did. So it's hard for me to kind of judge whether all management buyouts are good or bad, but in our case, we were pretty pleased, and
it's worked out for you.
It's worked out great.
And you started the DLT Foundation to give grants to community where you're in the areas where you have customers and employees. And so talk to me about this. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, one of the things, part of my principles as being a leader was the ability to give back. And I think part of our role as a successful business is really a privilege. And so part of that privilege is to give back to those who are less fortunate. We have a pretty young workforce. So in 2007, we went ahead and set up the DLT Foundation. It's essentially an employee-run charitable organization where they get to review the grants, they issue money, they get involved in particular campaigns and particular charitable causes. And it gets our people engaged. We found that they like to have some involvement. They're very keen on the environment, so we set up a Go Green committee, a wellness committee. But this foundation is really to give back to the community. And we were recognized, actually, in 2009, winning the Sister Gallagher Award from the Human Resources Leadership Awards of D.C. So it's really come a long way from just a small incubated idea to something that's really relevant and has a big impact on our work life. And I think sets a good foundation and principles for our employees.
Let's talk about the economy. So you sell primarily to the government sector.
That's right. That's about 98% of our business. We do 2% commercial, but it's almost all public sector, both federal as well as state and local.
Are you seeing any effects on the economic climate?
Well, there's several. Nobody is insulated from what's going on in the economy. In the case of the public sector, we're a little more insulated, I guess, than other companies. The federal government, which is our major sector, is really the Fortune 1 company buying technology. They have to use technology to better govern. It's really not even discretionary anymore. It's almost a mandatory purchase. So they're very aggressive at using technology to serve their constituents. The information technology sector is strong and is going up. It tends to be around $70 billion a year, and it tends to be that way whether it's Republicans or Democrats or wars or floods or famines. So it's a pretty solid sector. What's happened is with the attractiveness of the public sector in terms of the spend, we've had a lot more competitors enter the marketplace who, you know, heretofore wouldn't have entered public sector because they would have stayed on the commercial side. But once the commercial sector went a little wonky, a lot of them came charging into the federal sector, which all of a sudden had lots of appeal. State and local is a little more difficult because a lot of their tax base has to do with real estate values, which, as you know, are really in a funk. So we're a little more challenged there. And on the state and local side, what we've seen, all the states kind of act like little countries. So it's really, we call it a sector, but in reality, it's 50 little countries that we're trying to deal with. A lot of common IT problems, a lot of common issues. But again, they run themselves in a different situation.
And we're speaking, of course, with the President and CEO of DLT Solutions, Mr. Rick Marcotte. And Rick, talk to me about your leadership philosophy.
Yeah, in terms of leadership, I really believe that, first of all, I'm an optimist. And leaders have to lead. They have to have the passion of what they're doing. They have to build a great team. They have to define a path. And they have to build the kind of rigorous processes to help people move down that path. So we're pretty diligent at DLT, and I'm certainly the lead cheerleader and motivator there in terms of making sure we're following a path and developing that strategy. I like to measure a lot of things. We follow our traction towards getting to those goals. I like to define what winning looks like, so when we get there, we know. And so in terms of leadership, it's always, building a world-class organization with solid business processes, defining winning, and making sure that we've got the fundamentals right. We spend a lot of time working on the blocking and tackling of sales and marketing execution at DLT.
Speaking of defining winning, how often do you define the win wrongly? So, you make the benchmark too aggressive and then, the team's doing good, but it's, it's too high to hit something.
Yeah, we've had instances like that. I mean, you have to be rational in the types of goals you set up. So I try and do course corrections when necessary. But more often than not, if you set a reasonable goal using the best information you have at the time, and even if it's a little too high, people strive to get there. There is a human innate quality to drive towards this defined definition of winning. So, in a few instances, I've had to dial back. But more often than not, I think I've been pretty fortunate in using the right type of quantitative methods to set the right goals.
Okay, excellent. And give me an example of a leadership decision that went wrong that you made.
Yeah, I've made a few. I think one of them goes back to me being an optimist. I mean, I've probably tried to coach people and help them rise up to a position when it would have been smarter for me to pull the plug earlier. You learn by doing on that front. The other sort of major decision I think I could have made or should have made was back in the dot-com era. I was in charge of a major telecommunications integration company back at the time. We had a great run, grew the company very fast. And when the dot-com bubble burst, I had to downsize that division and lay off almost 45% of the employees, which has always stuck with me. That's a life-altering experience. And what I should have done in that point is better understood the customer concentration we had in that sector and done a better job of spreading our risk and building a stronger portfolio for that.
We're speaking with Rick Marcotte, President and CEO of an Inc. 5000 company, DLT Solutions, and thanks for sharing some of the hard times of being a leader, which are, everyone's been through it. Now, your background is you have an MBA from University of Windsor in Ontario, Canada. So were you raised Canadian, or I don't hear the accent?
Right. Well, Windsor, as you may know, is actually south of Detroit. It's a Trivial Pursuit question. So
okay.
very Americanized, as you can imagine, an American citizen now, and moved down here in the mid-'80s. So, you know, my MBA was from that school and was in finance and marketing. So it's been a great foundation for me to develop those kinds of skills and turn into a general manager and a leader.
Did you think, you know, kind of at what point did you do management for IT? You know, an MBA, you could go kind of any sector. Was that an interest of yours, or did you fall into it, or?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a fall into it. My initial employer out of university was a company called Northern Telecom, which has since been renamed to Nortel Networks. And at that point in time, it was one of the brightest and strongest companies in Canada and almost in North America. That company has now essentially declared bankruptcy and has been sold off in pieces to various competitors. So it certainly keeps you understanding that just because you're strong once, don't be complacent. You got to reinvent yourself and continue to grow that thing every day. And I think they made some big mistakes.
Interesting. And we hear that a lot. You know, someone started running country because they saw it done wrongly before by someone they work for, or, you know, where they saw what not to do or how not to hire or things like that. So that's interesting. Now, we're speaking with Rick Marcotte, President CEO of DLT Solutions. You sell to the public sector, primarily federal, but also state and local. Talk to me about the differences between selling to state and local versus a federal, or maybe not just selling, but delivering the product for various.
Yeah, the federal side, you know, very large, very complex. There's lots of different initiatives that sort of cut across agencies, and the scale at which these things are undertaken are just enormous. If you look at some of the technology initiatives at the federal level, there's a lot of talk right now about virtualization, which drives the number of data centers down. There's a lot of talk about backing up and restoring and maintaining and archiving emails, for example, for 7 years or sometimes forever. There's a lot of attention towards cybersecurity. So there's plenty of, and the one that's most recent is cloud computing, which is essentially a shared service model where you can variabilize your cost structure. So those are very oriented on the federal side. On the state and local side, the fact that they buy a little bit differently is something I mentioned earlier. But from a technology standpoint, they don't have quite the scale on the federal side. They're much more risk-averse, very interested in sort of serving the constituents who are much closer to the state governments. So a lot of things along those lines make it a little bit unique. And you're working on projects that are slightly smaller in scope.
And so so is, you know, the federal side versus commercial, what in IT does the federal sector do better? Like, what are they better at? They're kind of, you know, ahead of the curve, and the commercial side's behind, and vice versa. So what are they not as good at?
Yeah, what you hear a lot about in business is that the federal sector is slower to adopt some of these new technologies. And that's not surprising given the scale of the federal government and the complexity within and the decision-making, frankly. So in terms of IT, normally you see things kind of proven out in the commercial sector and then the federal sector sort of bringing that on later. They are much less to be a first adopter. So there's probably some improvement they could do by jumping on the bandwagon a little bit earlier, but it's understandable given the size and complexity of their business.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Okay. And we're speaking with Rick Marcotte, President and CEO of DLT Solutions. You split your time between Raleigh, North Carolina, and D.C. So how do you balance that with three kids?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's probably the toughest part of the job. My wife and kids remind me that selling software to the government is not like finding a cure for cancer. So they keep me grounded. You know, I'm a 100% dedicated business leader as well as a 100% dedicated husband and father. So I'm in D.C. every week and Raleigh on the weekends. Those are not mutually exclusive roles. So every day is a balancing act. It's hard to do, but you do the best you can.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio. Thank you for sharing your company story and your leadership history.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
It's Rick Marcotte, President and CEO of DLT Solutions. And, of course, you can find his bio, link to his website, and his audiocast. We'll have it for you at leadersportfolio.com. Exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio include Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. Time is running out, and we need you to nominate someone for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards or apply. If you're a fan of the show, and first of all, if you have already, thank you. We appreciate that. I'll be back after this in Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.